I'd like to look at a verse in Isaiah 12. I think this scripture was used in Sunday school Sunday. Isaiah 12 and 3 says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." As I pondered this meeting, the days and the weeks going by up to this meeting, I felt like the burden that the Lord gave me for this particular time was the idea that as saints of God, we're not to draw who we are and what makes us up from the world. Yes. That we're to draw right out of God what makes us what we are. This scripture says, "With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." So I think about using that analogy, maybe going a little farther than you've thought about it. A well, generally something deep, maybe hard to reach. But the idea is there's something's down there, something to get to. This says to draw it means to bring it out, to bring it forth. With joy, we bring water out of the wells of salvation, bring it up to us. We are to be something. The Lord wants to create in us something, make us something, and He wants it to be after Himself. I will say today, I believe there's a lot of things that we can draw from. There's a lot of things we could make, allow to influence what we think and who we are and how we do things. We can go to a lot of different sources to get things that we need. But the Lord wants us to draw well or water out of the wells of salvation. And I thought about it quite a bit. There is so much that I need that I don't have. And maybe the original man God created had it. But since that time, we haven't had it. And we need to get it. And the Lord has made it accessible. I believe the water here represents the grace and power and influence of God that will make us, help us to be what we ought to be. But it just doesn't come to me. It's not inherent to me. I wasn't born with it. So it's outside of me, and I've got to try to get to it some way. You ever think about dying? I think about dying probably every day of my life. There's very few days go by that I don't think about dying. And realizing that that's just exactly what's going to happen to me. It is. It's going to happen to me. A lot of times we want to put that off somewhere, but that's going to happen to me. Well, I think through this meeting, I think the Lord's given me this burden that we look into the idea of drawing from God. But tonight in particular, I'd like to think about hope. Hope. Sister Maxine kind of set the stage for it. Actually, in her testimony, she had said that this experience that she had gave her, when she considered it, and she told us that it came to her again, and she was feeding off of it just like she did originally, that what the Lord had given her gave her hope. Hope is something that's out there in the future that's not obtained yet, But we look to the obtaining of it. We need hope. You need to have hope. I need to have hope. I love hope. Something to hope on, something to get a hold of, to believe in out there, something that's going to be better, because I'll be honest with you, I see in my mind's eye, I see the path that I could go down. I see what others have went down. I see sometimes that there's darkness and sometimes it's fearful, and maybe you don't think that way, but when I look at it, I pray sometimes, Lord, give me the grace to go walk the way you'd have me to. I don't know that I can do it, Lord. I've seen some that go before me, and it seemed hard to me to go down that. Sometimes there's suffering. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's heartache. Sometimes there's a lot to go through. Sometimes I say, Lord, help me to do that. The world faces it too. And they draw from wells, don't they? Don't they have their ways of coping with it? Sure they do. They have ways of coping with it. But the Lord wants you and I to have a way of coping with it too. I remember several years ago, I met a man in the hospital, University of Virginia. And the folks there knew that I was from West Virginia, and this man was from West Virginia, so they said, you got to meet this guy. You all will hit it off. That's what they told me. You all will hit it off. So I went and met the guy, and he was in there because he had come down with the second time, he had come down with cancer. I went in and talked with him and told him all. I said, they wanted me to meet you. For some reason, they thought me and you would get along. Well, he started into talking, and I started into talking, and I could see why they said that. Because we just had us a real time era talking and then laughing and this and that. He said very little about his sickness at that point in time. He simply made a comment to me that, I'm not too concerned about it. I've beat it before. I'll beat it again. That's what he told me. We talked of fishing, of happy things. He had hope. He was full of hope. Beat it before, and I'll beat it again. It ain't that big a deal. I've been through chemo before. I'll be through it again. We'll beat this thing again. Won't be long. I'll be out on the boat again, fishing. The guy loved to fish. That's what he lived for. You could tell it. He loved the fish. He talked fishing and where and when and baits and lures. And he just loved the fish. But it didn't work the way he thought it would. But he had hope. He hoped in medical advancements. And they're great. There's no doubt about it. He hoped in the doctor's expertise. And there's a lot to be said for it. There really is. He hoped in the idea that he'd fish again. But he deteriorated. All the weeks went on. I'd see him from time to time when he was there and I was there. I'd see him there and I'd talk to him. Noticed that there was a general decline in his health. And he wrestled and struggled, but he hoped. He still hoped. There was another line of treatments. I'm not running anything down tonight. I'm just simply telling you that he was drawing from a well all the time of hope, that he had something that would better him, get him out of it. How dark it looks to face something like that. Death, possibly. Dark. I remember the day I went in and there was nurses in the hall, a few people standing there, and they were crying. And I come in wondering what was going on. I end up asking one of them, what's wrong? Well, he said, the doctor had to just go level, had to tell him. Told him there's nothing more we can do. Your time's up. That's what the doctor said. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we've done everything we could do. There's no options left to you, they told him. I went home that day. I didn't get to talk to him. I went home that day. And I'm telling you, I prayed. I prayed and I prayed, Lord, help me to be able to have something to say to this dear man. I'm going to tell you, I begged the Lord to allow me the opportunity to say something to this man. And I believed that that would happen. I went back over there the next week and got the opportunity to go in to him, and he was laying on his bed. His eyes was fastened to the ceiling, and they were tear. You could see they had been, he had been crying, and he sat there looking at the ceiling. And did you know, I didn't have a thing. I sat there wanting so desperately to be able to say something, and I tried and I tried. And there was nothing that I could say. He responded to nothing. His hope was gone. He was gone in his hope. He had no hope left. Do you know there was nothing wrong with fishing? It can be so satisfying to get to go out in God's creation and be able to enjoy things. I do it myself on a regular basis when I can, to get out and enjoy those things. But I'm going to tell you something. All the time spent at that kind of stuff will not give you any hope when it comes down to having to face the great beyond. He never said, I hear you. He never said, I'm with you. He never said, I know you're here. He didn't say anything to me. He didn't acknowledge that I said words to him. I tried to tell him the Lord can help you. He didn't think nothing penetrated. I want to tell you, that stirred me. That stirred me so much. In life, people reach for all kinds of things to be able to be at peace, be satisfied, and be happy. They want to be happy. They want to be satisfied. So they reach for the elements of this world to try to fulfill a longing of their hearts, to give them hope and peace in life. Happens all the time. Do you know how often it fails? As people of God, we don't draw our hope from the world. It will fail you, folks, every time. I think that it is wisdom to follow the scriptural instructions on how to live in this life. We should use our abilities of work to make gain. It's just the way the Lord made it. He gave us certain gifts, and we use that in order to work and to profit ourselves and our families. And we should use that. We should also give. We should also save. But we should never hope in it. If you put your hope in that, it's going to let you down. Saints of God, don't draw their hope from cash, from filthy lucre. That's not our hope. Our hope is so much brighter than that. I hope I don't get in trouble here, but it's just the truth anyway. Don't put your hope in politics. It'll let you down. Changing. I looked at what she thought was changing and I thought, that ain't going to help nothing. And you know what? It didn't help anything. Listen, saints of God, don't put your hope into political maneuverings. Put your hope in Christ. Draw out of the wells of God. It will never fail you. Because the truth of it is, all of them are going to fail us. That's just the truth. I know there are certain things and things that we believe in and all, and it will be natural course of life to do it. But don't draw your hope from it. Because there's something better than that to draw hope from. There have been men that have put their hopes. I remember reading stories of people that had gained great business minds and knew how the stock markets worked. And they was able to take their monies and their advantages of knowledges and understanding. It's only natural to do, to be able to use that. And they got great fortunes. And then there come the stock market crash, 1929. Do you know that they was men that threw themselves out of building windows when that happened? Because they went from very, very wealthy men to nothing. Where was their hope? They had great hope and ambition the day before. They had the world by the tail. They could do what they want. They could go where they want. If they wanted to sail to Europe, they could sail to Europe. They could do whatever they wanted because they had enough money to do it. They had the world by the tail one day, and the next day, it crashed. They had nothing. When they realized that they had nothing, you know, there was a lot of men couldn't handle that idea. You know what Brother Jim told me? Brother Jim was actually born in 22, so his knowledge of that particular time was small, but he remembered the Depression. Did you know what Brother Jim White told me about the Depression? He said, "We didn't know there was one." He said it was something interesting about poor folks up there. We barely scratched through before there was a stock market crash, and we barely made it afterwards. Nothing changed around us. But they didn't have their hope in something that didn't hold or sustain them. The world draws their hope from the idea that I can be smart enough, I can be athletic enough, I can make it somehow through the channels of this world to be successful, I can manipulate the system enough to be able to get gains, I have a hope in this direction or hope in this direction. Some people's simple hopes is just the fact that their team will win the national championship. Or their hope is centered as high as they can go on the facts that my team will win the Super Bowl or the World Series or those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, there's only, every year, only one team does it. And everybody else is heartbroken. God never intended for His people to draw from the world's wells. He always had intended that He would make the wells of salvation. Now think down there in the darkness of this, in this place of plenty and abounding. It's abounding, it's full, it's all. But there is something that you and I got to know. It does not just come up by itself to us. We have to draw from it. We've got to draw from God. We've got to put out the effort, the energy to be in there and be able to actually draw from that. I think of the Scripture where David was out and with his men, and he come back. Do you remember when he come back to his camp? He had come back in, and the Philistines had came and taken the wives and the children. Remember, they had come and taken it all. And David comes into this situation. Do you know people are always fair weather? People are always fair weather. This was King David. They were following him along. And they come back, and all of a sudden the wife and the children, it looked like a terrible military blunder. What was you thinking, David, that you didn't leave a force here to defend the most precious things to us? What are we out here fighting for if it's not for our families, our wives, our children? That's what my mind goes to. And you know what they started saying? A stoning. You don't think that's hard enough on David to come back and say, "Oh no"? Do you know Abigail was gone too? That was his David, one of David's wives, and she was gone too. And his children, they were all gone too. And he gets back there and all this precious stuff is gone. And he's saying, oh no, they're gone. And they're saying, stone him. Let's stone David. But you know what David did? He drew. He drew from the wells. It's always there, folks. Don't you realize? It's always there. You say, I get so discouraged. I do too. Aren't you glad there's a well? What are you going to hope in when you're discouraged? Discouragement comes. Things happen in life. We're not always up on top of the mountain all the time. Things. You ever been just blindsided? David was blindsided. I'll be honest with you. There's been some times come that I just assumed things was a certain way, and all of a sudden, blindsided. Remember one time in particular, 10 o'clock at night, I hadn't slept for the few nights before for events that happened, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be wonderful to get in bed just in a few minutes. And everything was just fine, peaceful, everything's fine. Getting ready for bed. I'm just going to relax a little bit before I go to bed. Then just no idea of it. One of the children was over by the couch and just went, what? Oh, no. Threw up right like that. Well, they just must have, something just must have happened. Well, and they're fevered, and guess what? I'm up all night. Again. David come back to the camp, and it's all gone. He was blindsided. They're going to stone me now. And you know what he did? He went to the wells of God. He went to the Lord, and he started praying to God. And the Scripture says that David encouraged himself. You know what that says? What's the given there is, what that means is, not versus God doing or anything. What really that saying is that none of these guys done it. Nobody was there to encourage David but himself. There wasn't nobody saying to David, King David, I just want to say something to you. I know what happened and all that, but God can help us here now. They were saying stoning. So David had to go to the Lord, and he got courage. And we'll tell you what come back in David. Hope. Hope for a better day. Hope for a better time. Hope of God's promises. Hope of the same God that brought the giant down. Deals in this situation too. He went and found out in the human efforts and minds that we forget sometimes that God is still working on our behalf. I'm still a child of God. I'm still in the hands of God. I still work for God. God still works for me. David went and he prayed until the Lord said, get up, David. Get up out of there. Go tell you guys. Get after them and I'll give them back to you. So David had to go back and say, put your stones down. No, lay them down. I got something to tell you. I just talked to the Lord. And he said, get your stuff girded up. We're going to go get them back. The Lord's going to give them back to us. And that's what happened. Hope. Not drawn from the world, but drawn from the Lord. The world has a way, don't they? When there's conflict in people, what does people do? It's the way of the world. Automatically, when there's conflict, we make alliances. I need all the people on my side I can get. And so you go around and you start whispering in people's ears. You start saying, this is my side of the story. You do that, and you start making alliances. And that's the way people do it. It is done that way everywhere, in all cultures, at all time, any conflict, that's what people do. The Lord never intended His people to draw out of those wells. He wants us to draw out of the wells of salvation. There's hope there in this situation. Do you know God can take these things and turn them around? Make them a blessing? Now let's consider Joseph. Joseph didn't intend on being his daddy's favorite. That whole deal with the coat riled them brothers up. And not only that, but there was other things. And Joseph really didn't have no intentions of all that. Joseph didn't make himself to be able to interpret dreams. God gave him all that he had there in that. God worked a purpose in him and brought him to a place that his very brothers threw him down in that well. And they, some of them wanted to just go ahead and get rid of the guy. Make it for sure. But the Lord was in that. And I know we say, Lord, how could the Lord be in that? But the Lord was in that because He looked way down the road where we need hope. Look into the future. What's it going to be for me? I don't know what my life will be, but this I am convinced of. God is able to keep me. No matter what He allows into my life. I am also convinced that nothing that I enjoy as part of the fleshly life will secure me in those times. Years ago, I was under a lot of stress and a lot on my mind and didn't hardly know what to do with it. And I remember one day I was between jobs. I was coming home from a job and I was going back to a job, so I wasn't going all the way home with my dad. I remember going over there thinking, oh, I know what I'd like to do today. I know what my answer is. This will be what I need. And I just thought, this will be so fun. There was a place up on the mountain up there where I like to go squirrel hunting. And so I went and I got a shotgun off my dad and I went up there and I was so excited about it. Such a pretty fall evening. And I thought, this is going to do it. This will be it. This will make me feel inside like I need to feel. So right up there I went. And I got up there and I sat down on that stump and I sat there for a minute or two and you know, I realized something. All those troubles and all those problems and all those things that I'd thought before, I packed them all right up there with me. Up there on that stump. And I sat there a little bit and it was pretty and the leaves was colored and all the things was going on and I sat there and I wasn't no happier sitting up there on that stump than I was down off driving down the road. But I thank God for something. I'm glad for the Lord and His workings with us. You know what the Lord said? All right, that's long enough. Get down out of here. I've got some people I want you to talk to. I want you to go visit these certain people. I said, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. Down off of there I went, backtracked myself right down, off, went in there and got down. I didn't know, but I got down there and I went down to their house and I knocked on the door and there was this, come in. And when I walked in, here's this couple with tears running down their faces, sitting there crying and said, oh, we were down praying that the Lord would send us somebody to talk to. We're so desperate. They went to the well. They went to the well. See, I was trying to do something that doesn't say, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with those things, but don't put your hope in them because they'll let you down. They'll let you down every time. Joseph kept his heart in the Lord the whole way through. He kept his integrity. He kept his heart. He kept drawing from the wells of God. He kept making him, I see the world around me. But you know, he didn't defile himself with the world around him. But he stayed true to the Lord, and the Lord blessed. There was a time that the Babylonians, because of the disobedience, the children of Israel, God let the Babylonians come and carry him away in captivity. They took Daniel. How could that happen to a child of God? Do you know Daniel went down into an old heathen land? We think sometimes that we're secure in this year, United States of America, land of the free and home of the brave and all that stuff, and it'll stand forever and we'll do that. Don't put your hope in it. But I'm going to tell you this. The one that we can hope in can keep you no matter what happens to this country. Do you know no matter what happens to this country, that it doesn't matter in living for God? Because they went out of a secure land. Daniel left where everybody thought the same. They believed, the law, they all knew. They had heritage, they had all this stuff. And they went into this foreign land as captives, and now everything's different. Everything's different. You have a whole different system down here. Things are done different than this. But you know what Daniel done the whole way through? He drew his strength, his courage, his hope out of the wells of God. They come in and said, you need to eat this certain stuff. Won't defile myself with that. I'm not eating of I'm not drawing from that well. His hope was always in the Lord. To deliver him, to help him. What did he say when they come along and said, Daniel, or they said, nobody can interpret this. You're supposed to be wise men. And he said to them, you wise men interpret a dream. And they said, all right, what is it, king? Well, I don't know what it is. You're the wise man. You tell me what the dream is. And then the interpretation of it. Well, now who can interpret? Who can do that? You're fakes. That's what the king said. You're fakes. If you can't do that, you're fakes. Just kill them all. We got back to Daniel. Going to kill all these guys. And Daniel went and said, he's basically said the same thing. Well, who can tell a man, another man, his dreams? Nobody can. But I know a God that can. You just wait on a minute. So Daniel goes, where was his hope? Where was his hope? The lining the stars up. That's what those astrologers done. You line the and you get the signs of the things and you try to make a prediction of the magnetic pull. There's all kind of ways out there to put your hope in. Do you know there's people that looks at a daily horoscope to get direction of their life? Should I invest? Should I not? Should I try to go out? Should I not go out? What should I do? And all their hope and confidence is laid in something that don't work. Daniel went and asked the Lord about it. He talked to the Lord. I don't think it was instantaneous. But the Lord did answer his prayer. And he told him, this is what he dreamed. Can you imagine what that king thought then when he comes back and says, I got you an answer. What you dreamed about a big image being set up. That's right, I can see it coming. I remember now, you're right, keep going. Yep, he had gold head. Yeah, that was it. I remember that. Just keep right on going. And he said, he didn't, no fake here. His hope was in God. He drew out of the wells of God for the hope that he had in this thing. The three Hebrew children was down there, and do you know, they pulled their hope from God. God was there all in all. This was it. This comes down to me. I want to ask you something. Where was everybody else? I've thought about it many times. There was a lot of Hebrews down there. They carried them. What did they all do? They all said it won't make that much difference. They all kind of give in some way or another. But you know that those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they hoped. And I imagine when they heard this and they looked at one another and said, what are we going to do? There is no question about what we're going to do. I don't hope in King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't hope in the Babylonian Empire. I don't hope in the astrologers. I hope in God. And God is able to do this for us. Now let's get back to our practical lives. We're going to die. A congregation this size, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some deathbed experiences. There's going to be some sudden takings out. There's going to be some places come in our lives that we're going to be shuddering and shaking about what's going to happen with it. I prophesy that to you, and a congregation this side could hardly miss. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. There's going to be, come time, the idea that you're going to face, absolutely, I'm terminal. You're going to face that kind of stuff. There's a scripture used a lot. It's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. The 11th verse, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, Paul's whole argument here about the resurrection was talking about the idea that Christ raised, and we will too. And this is the hope. And he said, and this scripture isn't, a lot of times people will quote this and said, if in this life only we have hope. And that's the way they leave it. But this says, if in this, read it again, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Because it goes to the argument that he was making that no matter how blessed you are in this life, and Christ is surely blessing us in this life, is he not? He's a wonderful blesser in this life. But Paul's argument is, if in this life only you have hope, you're going to be a miserable person because you're going to die. And what Sister Maxine said spiritually happens physically. The dark, hooded, black death that comes. If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. But we don't draw from the world that says we're evolving from a monkey. We don't draw from the world that says that there's nothing after this. We don't draw from that idea. We draw from the wells of God. We draw from the hope that He has given us, that He has prepared a place for us. That there is a heaven for those that are faithful. There is a place that God is, and there will be also. That's our hope. I'm going to tell you, we need to draw from that well daily and realize, live our lives accordingly as terminal. I think we heard it already. We are all terminal. Already. It's already preset. And to realize I'm a terminal case. Standing here before you today, I am terminal and I have only one hope of the whole thing. It isn't my goodness. It isn't my works. You'll get snagged thinking you got hope because you can work your way through it or do yourself or be good enough to do it. We have one hope. It's in the blood of Christ. I draw from it. Oh, I draw from it. I draw from the idea that in my weaknesses, He loves me. Aren't you glad that He loves you? So all that the world draws from to try to make themselves happy, fulfilled, satisfied in life, I'm going to tell you, I see too many people doing it. I see too many having a hand out to the world, pulling in the resources, pulling from the wells to try to get something from it when the Lord has made this beautiful, wonderful grace there. It's full. If you need hope, the well's full of it. There are so many things that the Lord can give us hope with and peace in. I came to a place one time before Tammy died that I was at wit's end. I did not know what to do. The Saints was absolutely wonderful to me. I got cards, I got calls continually. Support. But there was a place that nobody can go. Now, I appreciate everybody that would have went there, but there's no human can go to that depth. And I remember where I was at and the time I was there. And I simply was telling the Lord, I'm at the end. I have nothing left to fight this battle with. I'm done. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm done. And do you know, it was like, I don't know how to explain it other than it was like the doors flung open over top of my head. And there was the warmth of the feeling of the grace of God poured over me. It didn't change any circumstances. But I'm going to tell you, it sure let me know I can face the battles I've got ahead of me. The Lord poured out for me a strength that I did not have. I knew what was ahead or what looked like was ahead and what the Lord had convinced me was ahead. And the Lord didn't change it. But He gave me the grace to know I'm going to make it through that. And I'm going to be saved on the other side. And that's what kept me going. And it was all in the well. And it didn't come from any thrill of a deer I ever shot, or a fish I ever caught, or of a basket I ever swished, or of a touchdown I ever run in, or of anything that ever thrilled me of what I have done in life. None of it had any power to do anything for me at all. But there in the wells of salvation was water enough to secure me and take me through. And it's there for you too. So if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Because at the end of it all, if all the good and all that, and yet there's not the hope of what we've got beyond this. Because see, in this life the Lord blesses. He does. Thank God for it all. But there's got to be something beyond this life. My dad's 75 years old now. My dad was a very active, manly man. And he stayed very active way up in his life and could do more than most young people could do way up in his life. And that's not quite a testimony. But now at 75, he looks different. You give him 5 more years, see what he looks like. And you know what they're starting to tell me? You look more and more like your dad all the time. Well, guess what? He's showing me the way. I'm going to go down the path too. If the Lord leaves me, I'm going to go down that same old path too. And I need something more than just what's on this earth. Just what's on this earth. I've got to anchor in something over there. Oh, and He's got something over there for us. Saints, draw from His wells. I feel like this is probably just the first part of what the Lord wants to say this week concerning what He has available. But don't come up short of hope. It's not too early to start right now with putting your treasures over there. It's not too early. As a matter of fact, it may start being too late. Start hoping. Put your hope in God. Realizing that this life is short. And I've got so much to do here. But you know what? It may be undone. It may get undone. But Lord, help us to hope. Have a hope. And not draw from the world's hopes. I thank God for Social Security and those that use it. Don't hope in it. Don't you put too much on it because it might fall. Don't hope in it. Thank God for it and what He does for that. But put your hope and confidence in the Lord. You pray for me. Conclude with this first verse of 198. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? I don't know. Ask this question. Has any of the preachers or gospel workers, have any of you ever run into the idea of dealing with people that's dying that want hope in this life. You ever run into that conflict in your mind? You want to encourage them that they can live in this life, and to suggest that they get ready for the next one is a conflict to that thought that they have of living in this life. I've run into it several times, but this brings out a very important question. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? You know, you can really hope for, I get to live here. Lord, heal me. Oh, He's been a wonderful healer to us. I have a lot of hope in the Lord in that because He's been so good to us. But He's not always going to do it. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave in that sweet and vernal lands? Do we know if this, our tabernacle, were to be dissolved, we've a house not made with hands? You pray for me.